Cassieri with Andersonville Baptist Seminary as we begin lesson number 13 in our course of study, The Doctrine of God. We've been covering the material on your course outline under Roman numeral 8, The Fear of God. Last time we were together, we looked at what the Bible specifically says about what the fear of the Lord is. Now we want to look at motives for fearing God. Motives for fearing God. Number one, we want to look at motive for fearing God is the holiness. The holiness of God should cause us to fear Him. Amen. God is a holy God. Amen. And because He is holy, according to the Word of God, then we should fear Him. Look with me in Revelations chapter 15. Revelations chapter 15. In verse number 4. Revelations 15, number 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. So the Bible clearly tells us that there is only one that's holy, and that's God, amen. And that's a good motive, the holiness of God, for us to fear Him. And of course, here in Revelation chapter 15, verse number 4 that we just read, it says, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And of course, we know that that's not happening now, but that it's a future reference, amen, that in the millennium that nations will come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, when He's seated on the throne of David and He's ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, amen. But we see, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. We know in the Word of God, He tells us as Christians, amen, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Holy, in one definition of holy, means to be separate, amen. But really, there's only one that's holy, and that's God. And we, as a result of that, we should fear Him. And the reason this country doesn't fear God is because the God of America is not a holy God, amen. Oh, it may say in our money, in God we trust, but do we really? Amen. The God of America is certainly not the God of the Bible. Amen. The God of America, amen, is not a holy God. Because if He was, things wouldn't be going on the way they're going on. Amen. The God of the average American is a kind of, excuse the pun, a kind of humanistic bum, amen? You don't have to be afraid of Him. He won't hurt you, amen? He'll give you a little pat on the back or a little kiss and give you a handout, amen? But that's not the God of the Bible, amen? So we see, number one, the motive for fearing God is because of the holiness of God, or God is holy. Amen. Number two, the second motive that we want to see for fearing God is the goodness of God. The goodness of God causes us to fear Him. Look at what Samuel says. Samuel, in the 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter number 12 with me. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. We want to read in verse number 24. 1 Samuel 12, 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. See, the goodness of God should lead a man to fear Him. For surely, if God can be as good as He is to men who don't deserve that goodness, then certainly there's another side to God's nature that will be manifest sooner or later. Amen. Look at in Romans chapter 11 what Paul says. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, in one sentence, Paul says in verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Amen. So if you fear God, one of the motives for fearing God is His goodness. I don't know about you, I want God's goodness, not His severity. Amen. So that should be a great motivator. Amen. You want the goodness of God, then we should fear Him. Amen. He is good. His goodness will be continue to be poured out upon us as long as we fear Him and obey Him. Amen. And realize that, you know, we just can't do what we want. We can't just do what the flesh wants, because we know that the flesh inherently is wicked. Amen. The flesh itself is very wicked. The flesh is unsaved. The flesh, your flesh right now does not want you to be taking this course, amen. Your flesh would rather have you sitting in front of the idiot box, the TV, hour upon hour, watching some stupidity, amen. The flesh doesn't want you to be studying, amen, and learning the Word of God. Because it says in the Word of God that if you fear Him, amen, the goodness of God causes us to fear Him. Then another motive for fearing God is the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God should cause us to fear Him. Amen. The forgiveness of God should cause us to fear Him. Look with me in Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verse number 4. Psalm 130, verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The psalmist writes, But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. See, there's a motive, there's a reason to fear God. Forgiveness. For example, the sinner who fears God's will accept God's Son for the payment of sin. And as a result of that, that sinner will get the forgiveness of his sins. He'll be made right with God, amen. One of the motives then is of fearing God is forgiveness. Amen. Forgiveness. That should be the motivator for Christians, amen, to fear God because of what the repercussions will be, amen. If you don't fear God, you won't get His forgiveness, amen. You won't receive His mercy, amen. No, you won't. What you'll do is get the wrath of God, amen. The wrath of God will be poured out on you, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Or Joshua chapter 4, excuse me, in verse 24. In Joshua 4, verse 24, Joshua, reviewing the Lord's work, says the wondrous works that God did to the nation of Israel should cause them to fear Him. Amen. Let's read that verse. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. Fear God. I mean, you think about Israel, amen, the forgiveness of God from Israel, amen. All that they had done and forsake God and amen, but I praise Lord for the few like Caleb and Joshua that feared God, amen, and they were able to go into the promised land, amen. Joshua was able to lead the Israelites into the promised land. The last motive we want to look at for fear of the Lord, of fearing the Lord, is the coming judgment. The coming judgment should cause sinners, or the sinner, to fear the Lord, because we read in Revelations chapter 14, Revelations chapter 14, in verse number 7, Revelations 14, 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Amen. Saying with a loud voice, fear God. Amen. Fear God because of the coming judgment should be a motivation, amen, should be a motive for fearing God. But unfortunately today, if you think about it, there are many folks out there that are not fearing God because they believe there's no judgment day coming, amen. regardless of what the Word of God says. And unfortunately, amen, in our pulpits today, very little bit is preached on about the coming judgment of God and to fear God, amen. You know that what we get today is God is just a God of love, amen. God would never condemn anyone to a literal burning hell, amen. But of course, the Word of God just says the opposite, amen. That there is a coming day of judgment, amen. I just praise the Lord each time that I read through the book of Revelation, amen. And I read about that great white throne judgment in Revelations chapter 20. And I praise God that I'm not going to stand before that great white throne judgment, amen. When the unsaved dead will be resurrected and each individual will stand before that great white throne judgment, amen. But again, we must remember that the Christian will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And of course, that judgment's not going to be for salvation, but it'll be for a result of what rewards you will get or what rewards that you've lost, amen. So the Christian should fear God, amen, because there is a judgment seat of Christ, amen. And we're going to get rewards based on everything that we've done for the Lord, good or bad. If it's bad and it's the wrong motive, amen, we'll lose rewards, amen. So we should fear God, and we should have the right heart motive in serving God as Christians, amen. So we see then some real motives here for fearing God, the holiness of God, amen, should be a motive for fearing God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the forgiveness of God, and the coming judgment. All of these should be motives for fearing God, amen. And next we want to turn our attention to why the fear of the Lord is necessary. Why the fear of the Lord is necessary. First of all, we see it is necessary to worship. The fear of the Lord is necessary to worship. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in Psalm chapter 5. Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse number 7. In Psalm 5, verse number 7. Psalm 5, verse number 7. We read, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." He says, in thy fear will I worship. Amen. It's also necessary in service to God. Amen. Looking in Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Amen. Serve the Lord, Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Amen. I remember the two sons of Aaron, when they didn't worship, amen, the Lord in the proper way, and they burnt strange incense, amen, and the Lord just struck them dead right then and there, amen. So we should fear. The fear of the Lord is necessary for worship and service. It's also necessary to keep us from sin. Looking in Exodus chapter 20 with me in verse number 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Exodus 20, 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be for your eyes, that you sin not. It's necessary to keep us from sin, amen. Fear of the Lord is necessary for worship. Number two, we want to see that fear of the Lord is necessary for good government. Fear of the Lord is necessary for good government. Look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 in verse number 3. And we have David speaking here. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Amen. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. A man who is president of the United States or a king or a governor and doesn't fear God is an abomination and has no business being in office. Amen. What right does any man have to tell somebody what to do when that man himself has no fear of God, but is only afraid of votes, politicians, inflation, unemployment, and the news media? Amen. That person needs to get out. A God-fearing man will be careful what he says. A God-fearing man will be careful how he treats God and God's word. A God-fearing man will not do what some church tells him to do. Amen. He will do what God tells him to do. A God-fearing man will not let a religious dictator like the Pope dictate religious policy to him. No, he'll go by the book. Amen. And the book I'm speaking about is the AV 1611 King James Bible. Amen. Because we have to remember that God basically ordained three institutions, amen? Three institutions. The first one that he ordained was the family, amen? Right there in Genesis with Adam and Eve, amen? And also the church. But the third institution that he ordained was government, amen? Government. Now, of course, we should obey the laws of the land, amen, as long as they don't go counter to the things of God. We're to obey God rather than men, amen. But look with me in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God established government, amen? Look at in 1 Peter. Now, the thing to remember, God ordained government. Amen. And if that man is not in, is that's in office and it's not doing, God put him there and he's not doing what God wants him to do, amen. He's not a God-fearing man, then he better look out, amen. 1 Peter. You know, some people think just because God's judgment is not swift upon them that they're going to get away with it. No siree. That's not the way it is. Look at Titus chapter 3 first with me. Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Here we have in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Authority. But again, to have good government, then we need a man that ruleth over men, must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Because if the man that is ruling fears God, amen, then he's going to be right on, amen, most of the time, hopefully. Because he knows if he goes against God, then he's going to get himself and the country in trouble, amen. And that's the reason, another reason why this country is in such a mess, amen? Because the majority of our leaders do not fear God. That's why we have corrupt government at the state, the local, and federal level, for the most part, is because our leaders do not fear God. Amen. If you ever notice, amen, those that usually get in office are the ones that the media, amen, are behind. 100%, amen. The ones that the media promotes usually get in most of the time. There's an exception, amen. But if we're going to have good government, then we need men who are in position, who are in positions of authority, amen, that fear God. They're going to do the right things according to the word of God, amen. And it's not only to presidents, but it's to kings, to world leaders, prime ministers, amen. That's why the world is in such a mess, because there's no fear of God. There are men that are in office that are not fearing God as a whole. Amen. That United Nations as a whole, they don't fear God. Amen. They are their own God there, that United Nations. Amen. They're going to put out the rules and regulations and how the world should run, amen, instead of looking to God, instead of looking into the Word of God, into God's book and trying to find out what God has to say about it, amen. No, the fear of the Lord is necessary for good government. See, we have organizations, amen, like the ACLU. And a lot of times, men in position don't want to do anything, amen, to upset the ACLU, amen? They're afraid. What you need in office is God-fearing men to rule and not those that fear man. Because we've said it like a broken record in this study over and over again on the fear of the Lord. The fear of man bringeth a snare, amen? The fear of man bringeth a snare. Of course, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But the verse isn't finished. Second part of that verse is, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Amen. So safety is of the Lord, not of men. That's why we need men that are in office, that are in positions of authority, who fear God, amen, and not men, who put their trust in the Lord, and as a result, those that they're over will be safe, amen. So then we see, number two, why the fear of the Lord is necessary. Amen. The fear of the Lord is necessary for good government. Number three, the fear of God is necessary for the administration of justice. Amen. The administration of justice. The fear of God is necessary for perfecting of holiness in the Christian's life. Because if you think about it, if someone doesn't fear God and the results are going against what God would have them to do, then justice isn't going to be administered properly. Amen. You know, we see that statue on how justice has a woman dressed up as justice and it has a blindfold, that justice is supposed to be blind, you know, unprejudiced. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be, but it's not. The only one who's a righteous judge is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, amen. But again, those that fear God are going to administer justice fairly. They're not going to be afraid of men or what public opinion would say, amen. They're going to do according to what God would have them to do. Amen. And again, that's why our justice system in this country is so messed up. Because we have, amen, those sitting on the bench for the majority of the justices, be it at the federal level, amen, or state level, that do not fear God. And in fact, they're their own God. and they feel that they're only account for the majority to themselves and to no one else. So how can you expect justice to be administered righteously and fairly? Amen. That's only going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth during the millennium. Amen. Look what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Our entire walk as Christians should be according to God's will. Amen. He's not talking about working at getting saved, amen, because you're already saved. But you're to work out your walk, amen, as a Christian. You should work at it, not for salvation, but your walk in fear and trembling. In other words, you should fear God. Fear God, like he said, Paul said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Paul was commending them for saying that not only did they obey the Lord while he was there, but also when he wasn't. And I believe because the believers at Philippi feared God. So we see that another motive or motives for fearing God are fear of God is necessary for the administration of justice, and the fear of God is necessary for the perfecting of holiness. It's very simple. The fear of the Lord. And we're going to be looking at some results of fearing of God in just a moment. But see, what's happened in our society today, amen, and in our country, is that this fear of God has just been totally ignored. It's not really preached about really much anymore, as I've said earlier. And what's happened is we've set ourselves up in this country as little gods. Amen. And we downplay the concept of fearing anything. You know, this country is the, and I love this country, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that I'm an American, amen. But we forget, amen, what made this country great. It wasn't so much its citizens as it was God's hand upon it, amen. Because we have to remember that not too long ago, this country is still very young compared to some other countries that are hundreds and thousands of years old, amen. But it was established by God-fearing men. The founding fathers, for the most part, were God-fearing. Amen. God bless this country because it was God-fearing. Amen. And as we've seen, as we've talked about, one of the reasons it's necessary to fear God is for good government. And what's happened is because our leaders no longer fear God for the majority, our government has become worse and worse as compared to the early rulers' presidency, is George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, amen. As men have continually less and less to fear God, the results have been our government has got worse and worse. Now, some folks may say, well, gee, look at all the great programs our government is providing that there's never been before. Amen. Material, yes. As a country, we're in a country of abundance of material things, are we not? But my dear friend, we're getting farther and farther and farther away from God, are we not? We need to fear God. Amen. We need to fear God. Now that we want to look now at our remaining material here is the results of fearing God. The results. Amen. As a result of fearing God, what are the products? What are the byproducts? Amen. We're going to take a look at these. We've got 12 listed here. Under, again, we're looking at covering the material, the fear of God, under Roman numeral 8. We're looking at point D now, the results of fearing God. And we've got 12 listed. 12 listed. The first one is man gets wisdom. Man gets wisdom. Look, for example, in Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. If you want to know what will keep you out of more trouble and more scrapes and more sorrow and more headaches and more heartaches than anything else in this world, it's a simple, clean, enduring fear of God. Wisdom. Fearing God, man gets wisdom. Now, what kind of wisdom are we talking about? Again, if we look around at our society today, we'll say, gee, look at all the advancements that we've made in medicine and technology. I mean, in this century, we've put a man on the moon. Amen. It seems like, boy, man is really wise, doesn't it? Amen. But not when it comes to the things of the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. It doesn't say he that gets a man on the moon is wise, or he that invents a computer, amen, that can process millions and millions bits of pieces of information within seconds is wise. No. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Because basically what's going to happen, all this stuff that's going on now isn't going to amount to a hill of beans, amen? Because we know that this old earth as we know it is going to be burnt to a crisp, amen? It's going to be burnt by fire and made clean. And where will man's wisdom be then? No, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. That's a result of fearing God. Amen. Wisdom. So one of the results we see then of fearing God is wisdom. We're going to conclude our lesson 13 on the results of fearing God, and we'll continue to look at some more results of fearing the Lord or fearing God when we meet together and begin lesson 14.